This morning we'll be where? 1 Timothy chapter 4, okay? I'll start out first with reading. Verse 1, it says of chapter 4, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know not. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear you." Now, let's go back and break it down. And sometimes if you hear me struggling to read this, it's because it's hard to read King James, because my brain's saying that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. You know, and I'm saying words that I know are incorrect, but I'm putting it out there just because that's the King James Version and so many people think it's all right. And it's really hard for my brain to speak the things so they're contrary to what God says. So that's why I struggle sometimes when you hear me hesitate in words. I think it's really a struggle to put the word out, because I know it's incorrect. Okay, back to the first verse. I love this first word. Now! What are we talking about?
Right now.
It's all about now. See, it's not talking about what's going on next week or what happened last year. This is something that should be in your life in a present tense. Everything in your life is present tense. If it's not present tense, guess what? You got problems. Because you're thinking wrong. If you're thinking future, or if you're thinking past, you're in the wrong mode. It should be now. Because it's the only time you live, is now. And if 24 hours from right now, you're still living, it's still now, isn't it? If it's 24 years or 1,000 years, it's still now. And you got to get your thinking process put into that now thinking, and you'll be fine. But, you know, I could spend all day on now, but I'm not going to do. There's a whole lot more to do than just that one word, believe me. But now the Spirit is speaking distinctly, not expressly, but the language literally says distinctly. What does that mean? Why does that change the meaning of that word due to it?
Well, distinctly, it's exactly what it's supposed to be expressively.
You're just expressing something, but distinctly, like you said, is very clear that it's saying very distinctly, it's saying exactly what's wanting to be heard, needs to be heard. See, the Spirit speaks truth, and it's very clear, see? Very distinct. If I say it's a distinct sound, that means I understand that sound. So he's speaking that you can understand. That makes sense?
It's exactly clear.
It's clear to you because you understand. See? So it can speak distinctly. It says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And that word giving heed literally means to pay attention to or give them the attention. And see, that's the self. That spirit that's in man, that's not of God, this self that's in each one of us that wants the attention, that female inside of us that wants to take the throne, okay? that natural person is the one that pays attention to the deceiving or seducing spirit and the doctrines of what? Demons? Okay, doctrines of demons. What are doctrines of demons?
Your thought processes in your head.
They're your personal thought processes that don't line up with God. That's all it is.
Ego.
It's my ego that I have created in my mind to make me be the number one man. Just like Adam said, I'll sit on the sides of the north. I'll be like the Most High God. I'll be everything. See, it's I. It's the world of ego, isn't it? It's all those things about self that's trying to place itself, like Jesus said, sitting in the temple where it ought not to be. That abomination of desolation he spoke of, same thing. It's where my mind's trying to rule me instead of letting the Spirit of God rule me. Because God purchased me with his own blood, didn't he? So guess what? I'm not my own. I belong to him. So I don't have a right to run my own life like that. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Well, let me show you what it really says. The word speaking lies literally says announcing erroneous Christian doctrine in hypocrisy or deceptive hypocrisy, having their conscience rendered insensitive. So there's a whole bunch of people that in their doctrines they've made themselves insensitive.
Zombies.
Well, religious zombies, they just do what they're told and never think. And God give each one of us a mind to use. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
So what should we do with it? See, I should not be thinking for you, neither should you be thinking for anyone else. I can give you information, but I do not have the right to tell you you have to think like I think. I do not own anybody. I don't even own myself. See, so how do I have the right to tell you anything that you have to do? If I tell you you have to do it, I'm just like the rest of them. I'm putting you back under the law. And the book says if you live under the law, you're cursed. But I don't live under the law. I have been redeemed from the curse. That's what he did when he died on the cross. He redeemed us from the curse. I believe that in all my heart. In all my mind, my spirit, I believe every bit. I have been redeemed. I have no more curse upon me. I know people try to put them on me, but I don't believe in them anyway. I just bounce them back at them anyway. I'll just be a big backboard, just bang, bang, throw it at me, it bounces back. Now, don't worry about it. But their consciences are seared. They're insensitive. They don't have any compassion for people. Their religion is more important than their people. Do you hear that? Their doctrines, their organizations are more important than the people. God came, sent his son to redeem the world and bring it back to himself, to reconcile it back to him. He didn't come to reconcile church organizations or church doctrine, did he? He came to get his people. Is that true? Well then, do you think this insensitive idea of the church first is right? It can't be. God came to get his people, not doctrines or buildings.
Kind of funny, took them out of the bowels of hell.
Yeah, took them out of the church. And it goes on here talking about some of the things that the church doctrines taught, okay? And some of these things are still here today, don't think they're not. Forbidding to marry. Isn't there church organizations that do not allow certain people to marry?
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about the Catholic Church here. There's a lot of churches that say, oh, if you've been married before, you can't be remarried. It's foolishness. Never says that anywhere. It's their interpretation of something. It's said to be the husband of one wife. Well, guess what? It's only talking about one at a time. Didn't say you can't be there because Jesus himself said Moses gave a writ of divorcement and it's okay. If you can't forgive somebody that's done you wrong, you can be divorced if you want to. He didn't say he was going to hell for it like the church says. See what I mean? So there's all kinds of doctrines that people's thinking process have put in position to rule over you that's not true. It's not true at all. Okay, they forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. And that word meats is literally, the language says, food forbidden by Jewish law. So there's still churches out here that say you shouldn't eat pork and you shouldn't eat certain seafoods. You know, you can't eat shrimp. You can't eat fish with skin. You're going to eat the fish with scales, you know. Things like that. You can't eat frog legs and all these. That's foolishness. It was all changed in the book of Acts if they'd care to read the book of Acts, the new covenant, We're no longer under that covenant. And I'm going to tell you this right now, straight up. If you lived by that Jewish law of eating, you would be very healthy. If you adhered to it strictly, you could be very healthy. Won't make you any better standing with God, but your physical body would be in better shape. We eat a lot of junk food today. We all do. And it's harder on our bodies. But that doesn't make us any closer to God or farther away from God because we eat junk food. That's foolishness. There's nothing here that says if you don't eat pork, God will love you. And if you eat pork, you're going to die and go to hell. So it don't say those things, does it? But they would tend to make you believe that if you don't do the things that they tell you, then you're going to hell. And see, that ain't true anyway. Since the hell that they're talking about don't exist, there is a hell, but it's a physical hell between our ears if we choose to stay there. But abstaining from meats which God has created to be received. Hello. What did he say they were done created for? To be received into our bodies for nourishment. Now, why in the world would we abstain from anything that can give us nourishment? People are dying, wouldn't take that food. Some of the people are so caught up in religion, they would die before they eat anything that would be they would have been told was not permitted by God.
And, sacred
cow. Yeah, the sacred cows run around different parts of the country, the world, that they won't eat a cow and they're starving to death. And they got cows running everywhere. And there's some places where they have monkeys running around all over the city, taking over, but they worship the monkey so they can't kill the monkey or drive them out of the cities, and they couldn't even eat them if they're hungry. I'm going to tell you what, if I get hungry and it's time to eat and there's nothing to eat and I get really hungry, anything walking, crawling, or flying that I can get a hold of, I'm going to kill it and eat it. Cook it if I can, for I don't like raw meat. But I would cook it and eat it. If it comes down to getting hungry enough, I'm going to guarantee you, you all do the same thing. When you get hungry enough, you'll cook anything that walks, crawls, or flies. And I mean, there's many, many stories where people have even eaten human flesh. I don't recommend that, you know, in any way. But I'm talking about there are circumstances that might even happen. Don't say you won't do it because you ain't never been put in a place where you could die in the next few hours or days if you don't put some nourishment in your body. That'll change a whole lot of your thinking, okay? So whether it's dogs, cats, monkeys, or anything else, if it came down to it to survive, I'm going to be the one that gets to survive, not that animal. You know, the human race is going to survive before the animal. Where am I at there? Oh, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and what?
Know the truth.
Know the truth, but there's another word that goes in there. It's not in there. That fully know the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. See, I got to believe and know the truth. I need to have a relationship with God. If I don't know the truth, and see, Jesus the man, he wasn't talking. That was the Christ speaking out of him. It wasn't the man Jesus talking. It was the Christ within him that was saying, I am the truth. Just like he said in Exodus 3:14, he said to Abraham, I think it was, he said, I am the truth. I am that I am. That I am is God. And when Jesus said, I am, don't you know what it did to those religious people? Oh man, he fired them Pharisees up right now because they knew where that word came from. It came from the Old Testament. That just really fired them up. Into verse 4, he goes on and says, because, okay, because every creature of God is good. Every creation of God is good. Yeah, hello. The church says 90% of the world's bad. It's terrible. Send it to hell, burn it, don't they? Okay. He said every creature, and the word, if I'm mistaken, is that word ktisis?
Yeah.
It's ktisis. It means creation. Because all creation is of God. Of God is good.
It's K-T-I-S-M-A, ktisma.
Ktisma? Okay. Anyway, the root of it's ktisis. And nothing is to be what? Or rejected if it be received with gratitude. If I receive it with thanksgiving, knowing that God has provided this food to sustain my life, there's nothing wrong with it. If I accept it knowing that God gave this, provided this animal, and you know, the Indians do that a lot. I think they go overboard with it because they think the animals have spirits just like we do, and that spirit give up its spirit so we can live, and then we honor that spirit of that animal and all that stuff. I don't believe in that. I just thank God for providing the animal for us for food. Okay? That's all. Okay, because it is sanctified or consecrated through the word, through Christ, of God and prayer. through the Word of God and prayer. And the Word of God is Christ, isn't it? On to verse 6. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good, what? A lot of them says minister. The word actually is diakonos. It means teacher, pastor, or servant. And servant's really what it should say. You'll be a good servant if I do the things I'm told, wouldn't I? That's all he's telling us. If we obey what he keep his commandments, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll be a good servant if you love me and keep my commandments. That's all he's telling you. And he tells you the things that you should be putting them in memory of. You'd be a good servant of Jesus Christ, educated in the words of faith, not nourished up, but educated in the mind, in words of faith and of good doctrine, which is teaching, that you have what?
Carefully.
What'd you say?
Carefully
of what?
Followed.
Okay, anybody else say something there? The language literally says that you have conformed to. And that would be learned. If you've learned it, you've conformed to it, right? So when I conform to those good doctrines, those good teachings of Christ, guess what? Then I'm going to be a good minister. I'm going to be a good servant of His. But in verse 7, it goes on and says this, but refuse profane. The word profane is literally heathen or wicked. It said, refuse heathen or wicked and old wives or silly fictions and myths. You know what the greatest myth that I ever heard was? The greatest fiction, the greatest silly old wives tale that I hear all the time from people? I believe. What do you believe? James said the demons and devils believe. What good's it going to do them? Huh? Didn't he? It's not about believing that there is a God. This easy believism the church says, do you believe there's a God? Yeah, okay, you're okay. See, that's not the answer. Believe what God said. How did Abraham become a Jew? He was accounted righteous because he believed God. You want to be accounted righteous? Guess what you got to do? You got to believe what God said. Not what Dave says, not what King James says, but what God says by His Spirit. Correct? And see, so many people are so legalistic. If I hear God say something to me, all I can do is tell you, this is what God said to me. I can relay it to you, but I can't tell you that that's exactly what God's going to say to you. Because you are a different, unique individual. Do you hear me? We are all unique individuals. And God can say something to me to get my attention and turn around and say to you about the same subject and say something a little differently because it's the way you can understand it. The Spirit has the ability to get you to understand what He wants you to understand. And He can say it any way He wants to, as long as you get the message. Right? So for me or anyone else to say, well, it means this and that's the end of it, is being stupid to start with and arrogant to think that they have the only view that there is. I think Peter said there was no private interpretation of the Scriptures. Didn't he? So guess what? Just because I can see it this way doesn't mean anybody else can see it that way. But I think if you live the life right, people can see what you're talking about through the actions of your life.
Don't you think that's what happens to people? They try to conform their thoughts to what that minister is saying.
That's called worship.
Right.
That's called idolatry. It's exactly right. It's a good point. People try to conform to their preacher versus trying to conform to Christ. Don't try to conform after a man or a woman. Conform to the image of Christ. If you do that, guess what? We got no problem. And I didn't say Jesus, I said Christ, the Spirit of God. The man Jesus walked it out very well, okay? Better than anybody else ever did. But that's not my image. My image is the Spirit of Christ in. Paul even said it. It's not I, but the Christ that lives within me. That's the whole point. Watch what He does. It's an internal work, isn't it? Okay, where are we at? Verse 8, right? Because bodily exercise profits little. Boy, I've heard that and wore out. Excuse. Justifying is just a lying. It don't even say that to start with. Literally, it says physical exercise or training profits briefly or for a while. If I work out in weights and I build big muscles up, guess what? It profits for a little while. That's all it does. It briefly profits me. Because if I sit back down for the next 2 months and do nothing, I lost that and more.
That's a fleshly.
See, it's all in the flesh. But now let's go ahead and see what he said. He didn't say that out of context. He put something with it. He tied it together to show you. Physical exercise, the work you do, will help you briefly in this brief lifetime. It says, is profitable. It said physical exercise profits little or for a short while or briefly. But godliness is profitable to all, having promise of the life that now is. When?
Now.
Now and is. Both them words are present tense, aren't they? There's emphasis there. It has promise in this life right now and that which is to come. So right now I have promise. It's not like, okay, someday I get to fly to heaven. I get to die and fly. That's not the promise. The promise is I can experience right now. Right now, today, at this very instant, I can experience the peace of God and sit in the kingdom of God right now. Paul said we are seated now in heavenly places. Right now. I can be there and you can be there right now. And I have a promise that when this life is over, I'm going to continue this thing. It's not going to end. Didn't Jesus say he's alive forevermore? Well, once you step into this realm of life in God, it's nothing to do with the physical. It's about the spiritual. Once you get there, there's no going back. There's no turning back. There's no coming out of it. You're there. You're in the kingdom. You're going to continue in the kingdom for eternity. There is a word eternity, not some of the things that's mistranslated in the scriptures, but there is a time forever. You know, we're going to be with him. So don't worry about that. The main thing is get in it now. Why wait to get to your blessing? Is there any benefit to that? You miss out a lot of peace in life. You go through a lot of hell because you don't get a hold of it now. If you get a hold of it now, you got it from now on. See, I can live the rest of this life and forever in this peace of God. So why wait? Wait broke the camel's back, didn't it? And he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What he just said. You can have it now and you can have it later. You can have it from now throughout eternity. And eternity never ends. So why wait till you die to pick it up? Sorry, I want it now. Verse 10. Because therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. And there is a reproach when you're living this truth and talking it. Because we trust in the living God, not in a dead God, some idol that they've got made up in their minds or in front of their church or out on a pole or something. But we trust in the living God who is the Savior, or literally deliverer, if you look at the word, it says deliverer, of how many men? Well, then why do they keep saying everybody's going to hell for? If he's the Savior of all men, is he a failure? He'll accomplish what he's sent here to do. In Isaiah 55, I think it says, my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I've sent it thereunto to do. Guess what? Jesus said he was the word, didn't he? He was sent here to accomplish something. The last thing he said on the cross is, it's finished. So guess what? He's not a failure. We just don't believe what he already did for us. There's the problem. See, that believing again. Not believing what he said and what he did. But he's the Savior of all humanity. It's pos anthropos. Okay? Especially, or above all, or most of all, or first of all, those that believe. The ones that believe, he's my Savior first. If I believe, I'm the first one that's going to be delivered. If I'm the first one to believe, aren't I? Does that make sense? If I'm the first one to believe, then I'm going to believe it first, aren't I? First of all, he'll be my Savior first because I believe first. We could say that of the apostles and of Paul and of the ones that died in that time. They believed it. How about the thief on the cross?
You've been conformed to the truth.
Yeah. Once you've conformed to the truth, then you're delivered, see? And when the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Guess what? He's been conformed, hasn't he? He's been conformed to that image. He knew the truth. He saw him hanging there on the tree. See, he knew. But first of all, those that believe. These things, he said, declare and teach. He said, teach that all men will be delivered by God. Well, boy, the church world sure don't like that one. They'll say all but, or all if, or all maybe, or all can be if. I can't find those words in there. He said he's the deliverer of all men, but first those that believe. He said to declare these things and teach them. How many people do you think in the church realm today teach that all humanity will be saved?
They're not, because they're still being conformed to what the pastor says.
What that doctrine or what that group or organization says. See, it's not about what he said.
And if they go astray from that thought, then they're outcast.
They're ostracized right out of the church if you don't go along with their doctrines. Why did God make every one of us unique? Is that so we could all act like penguins and walk in a row? He works each one of us individually, and that's the way it should be. See? That's the whole point. We have to have compassion and mercy and acceptance. We have to be able to understand that we don't all agree and still love each other. Verse 12, let no man despise your youth, but you be an example. It says, be thou, you be an example of the believers. I'm supposed to be, and you're supposed to be an example to the believers. Right? In word, the way I talk, the way I teach. In conversation, that word conversation is in my behavior. In my words, in my behavior, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in the purity of my life. People should be able to see that I'm not the same person. Right? Just like they saw I was a bad person and done all kinds of things against the nature of God when I was in the world. But now they should also see that I'm going the other direction, shouldn't they? Verse 13, he says, until I come, give attendance, or literally should say, apply oneself. Until I come, he said, apply oneself to reading, to exhortation. And the word exhortation literally means encouragement. Give yourself, until I show up, he said, Paul's telling Timothy, till I show up, I want you to give your attendance or apply yourself to reading, to encouragement, and to teaching. Those are the things that Paul was telling Timothy.
When you start teaching, you're going to need encouragement.
You're going to need encouragement, I guarantee you, because they're going to try to pull your ears plumb off of you. And he said, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy by the laying on of hands of the presbytery or the elders. Now, what's the gift that was in him? It was the Christ. It was faith. Faith is a gift, right? We're saved by grace through faith, and this is a gift of God. He had something in him, and he was encouraged by the elders. The ones who already had the truth encouraged him by laying on their hands and saying, God is bringing this to pass in your life. Now believe it. God already said it, but someone else come along and gave him a witness of what God already said to him. And Paul's coming back and putting him in remembrance of this and saying, hey, do you remember when you received the prophecy about what God's doing in your life? Now he's doing it. Believe it. Don't neglect that gift. Verse 15 goes on, said, meditate on these things, on the things about reading and exhortation or encouragement and teaching and the gift that God has placed within you. He said, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them. Okay? To these things that he just talked about here in this passage. He said, give yourself wholly to these things in order that your what?
Progress.
The word should be progress. In order that your the word profiting, everybody runs straight to money, don't they? But the word is progress. Okay? Take it to the progress, that your progress be apparent, is what it should, not may appear, but be apparent to all. So that everybody can see what you're doing. When you give yourself wholly to them, it's going to be very clear to somebody, if they watch you, that they're going to see your progress. It's going to be very apparent, isn't it? Okay, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, or literally your teachings. Pay attention to yourself and to your teachings. Continue or persevere in them. Why would he say persevere? That's what it literally says. Persevere. You know how much fire is coming against you? Why would he say persevere? King James says continue, but the language says persevere.
Because people are going to try and change
you. Oh, they're going to fight you. It's going to be like a battle to tell the truth. So persevere in them, because in doing this, you shall both what? Literally deliver yourself. By persevering, you will deliver yourself and them that hear you. Just like Jesus said in the Gospels, He that endures to the end, the same shall be delivered. King James said saved there too, but it doesn't mean that. It means delivered. So he said, in doing this, by persevering in what you're teaching, guess what? You'll deliver yourself. Because you know what? If I don't persevere, that means I really don't believe what I'm teaching. So if I persevere, that means I believe it enough I'm willing to lay my life on the line for it. And if I do that, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to deliver myself from all that religious baggage. And you know, if someone had told me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, that I would be where I am today, I'd have told them they was a raving lunatic. There was no way, because I didn't believe what I believe today. I didn't know what I know today. And when I say I know, it's what God has shown me. And whether he shows anybody else, that's his business. It's not mine. But you know, it's just not about taking an easy cakewalk. Life is tough. And the only way you're going to change is realize that this was put in your life to help you get back to where you were with God from the beginning.